I shared this a little while during the worship that this afternoon I asked the Lord what He wanted to say, what He wanted to say about these seven words translated praise. And He said to me, I heard it real clearly, He said, I don't want to say anything. He said, what I want is I want for my people to experience me through these expressions that I've revealed in my word. And that I don't want them to understand with human knowledge that that's not the important part. That the important part is that His word is written on the tablets of our hearts. And that these expressions become more than just a theology, more than just intellectual understanding of what the words mean, but they become a part of who we are. That they become a lifestyle, that they become a heart attitude. So with that as a springboard, we're going to look tonight at the words in Scripture that are translated praise in the King James Version of the Bible in an effort to discover those heart attitudes that God desires to cultivate in us through our praise. Because what we've discovered, and we've talked about this a little bit already, is that as we yield our members, we become a servant to whoever we yield our members. As we behold Him from glory to glory, He conforms us to His image. And the purpose of our expression of praise and of worship is simply to behold Him. It's simply to enter into His presence. It's to break open the alabaster box of our hearts and pour our lives out at His feet. And He said about Mary that that was a much higher way than just doing the good stuff. You remember Mary and Martha? It's interesting to me that Jesus didn't chastise Martha. He didn't say that what she was doing was bad or wrong or ineffective. All He said was, Martha, Mary has a higher understanding. She's discovered a higher way. And it has to do with breaking herself open and pouring herself out at my feet and anointing me. And there's a higher thing in the Spirit, and that's what we want these expressions of praise to be. All right. Now, I started off by making the statement that the words translated praise are not the only valid expressions of praise. I want that to make that really clear right up front. But they're words that describe a general attitude as opposed to a specific expression. And what I mean by that is that praise is kind of a generic word, right? It's kind of a vague word. It's sort of a catch-all. It's not as specific as a word like clap. The word in Scripture that is translated clap is always translated clap. And it's very clear as to what that word is speaking about. It's speaking about putting your hands, striking your hands together. You know, the word sing is very clear as to what it's speaking about. Dance is very clear. All of these are expressions of praise. But the word praise itself, isn't it? It's more like a catch-all. It's more like a big umbrella that sort of, that a lot of different expressions can fall into. So when we look at these words that have been translated praise, we don't want to make the mistake of thinking that these are the only expressions of praise. We want to understand that what we're trying to do is get a feel for what praise is really about. I tried to come up with a good illustration. And I'm not sure that this illustration will make sense to you. It might make your head hurt. And Lauren says, oh, my head's hurting when I say something that she can't get her head around. So if your head hurts with this illustration, just blow it off. Put it on the back, you know, forget it if it doesn't fit. But I sort of saw praise like a car. You know, a tire is always a tire. A steering wheel is a steering wheel. A petrol tank is a petrol tank, but a car includes all of those parts. It includes all of those parts. Sometimes we tend to focus on the parts and we don't understand the whole. Before you can effectively understand or design or use a tire, you have to understand the purpose of a car, don't you? You can't really design an effective tire until you know what a car is designed to do. And I'm saying that because when we study our expressions of praise, what we want to do is we want to put the expressions of praise in a proper context. Clapping is a valid expression of praise. But what is praise supposed to be about? So that we can put our clapping and our shouting and our dancing and our singing into the proper context. It's kind of another way of looking I'm struggling for words in this and trying to make this really clear. Let's just skip it and go on. How about that? So it just doesn't get any more confusing. We're talking about just a generic thing, and I think it will make itself clear as we just press on. Here's maybe another illustration that'll help us understand how knowing the difference between these seven Hebrew words will help. Psalm 147:1 says this. If you read it in English, it says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful." Okay? Three different expressions of the word praise in that psalm. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. However, if you look at that in Hebrew, each of those praises is a different word and includes a different expression, and it has a different heart behind it. It has a whole different feel about it. If you read it in Hebrew, it says, "Hallel the Lord. Behave clamorously foolishly." He's going to talk more about that. But behave clamorously foolishly. Get excited about the Lord. Praise the Lord. For it is good to zamar the Lord. It is good to sing a song before the Lord and express a musical expression of your appreciation before the Lord. For it is pleasant and tehillim, the release of the spiritual song that God's placed in the midst of us, is beautiful. If you understand it, that there's different Hebrew words translated praise, it can just bring a whole new dimension and a whole new depth to our expressions of praise. That's what I'm trying to sort of illustrate. All right, so let's look at the seven words. And what we've decided to do, this may be kind of interesting. I'm going to share the first four, or I'm going to share four of them, and Dee's going to share three of them. So it may be totally different, the format in which you get them. But this should be fun. This should be exciting to find out how well they knit together. Anyhow, in order of frequency, I put in your notes all seven of the words. That's the information. You can look it over in your own time. Basically, what I did for each one, I made the note that when I put them in order of frequency, I'm referring to how frequently each of these words was translated praise, not how frequently each of these words actually occur in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. And the example that I put in your notes for you is the word Barak occurs more times than any of the rest of them. It occurs 330 times in the Old Testament, the word Barak. But it was only translated as praise in English twice. 302 times it was translated bless. But what we're looking at is the words that were translated praise in English, so we can get an understanding of just a whole bigger picture of what God means. How many of you know that one of the struggles with working with Hebrew and Greek both is that it's very difficult to translate a Hebrew word or a Greek word with a one-word English translation. It's very difficult to put it, to just do a word-for-word translation. So each of these Hebrew words, as we discuss them, we're going to look at some of the alternate translations, some of the other ways that these words were translated besides the word praise, so that we can get a broader scope of what that word, that biblical Hebrew word, was supposed to represent. What God is saying to us that he wants to release and write on the tables of our hearts. So what I put in your notes is each of these seven words, how many times they were translated praise out of how many times they occurred, and then if they were translated any other way than praise, I put the next most frequent translation. Not the only other translations, but the next most frequent. Is that totally confusing, or is that fairly clear? It's fairly clear when you look in the notes. Yes, okay. All right. Okay, I guess I better spell it out. For example, look at number one, or letter B in your notes. It's that number that you see there is your Strong's number. It's Strong's number 1984. It's the Hebrew word halal. That's the one that is most frequently translated praise. 117 times it is translated praise, but it occurs 165 times. And its next most frequent translation, letter A in your notes, is glory. 14 times the word halal is translated glory. Okay, and is this making more sense? Okay, and I did that for each of the seven words. You can look at that on your own time because we want to get into actually talking about each one of them. So we're going to go to number three in your notes, and I just want to share one interesting fact that kind of struck me as I was looking at these words, an interesting fact about the praise words, and it is this. Of the seven words that are translated praise, only two of them are inherently musical. Only two of them actually involve in their meanings a musical expression out of the seven. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't use music in some of the others, as we'll see in a minute. But only two of those are musical. And the reason I brought that up is because most people, especially in the charismatic world, when you say praise, almost instantly in their mind, they think about music. Almost instantly, there's an association with playing instruments or singing or dancing or some sort of musical thing. And five out of the seven Hebrew words inherent in the word doesn't have anything to do with music, as we're going to see in just a minute. All right. I want to look first at the Hebrew word tehillah. That little at sign in your notes, like T at Hila, when I actually had to go into my word processor and go to autocorrect so that it didn't automatically make it a link, a hyperlink in my document when I was typing, because it thought it was a web address, you know. When I typed the word, my word processor automatically turned it into a web address, and I could click on it and send mail to T at Hila. It was pretty odd. But anyhow, that's kind of an insertion when you see Hebrews. The original Hebrew didn't start it off with no vowel sounds. And so this is kind of a substitute for a vowel sound. If you were going to try to pronounce it, it would probably be T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H, and sometimes you'll see it spelled that way. But anyhow, that space out there, I wanted to note that that is a noun. The word is a noun. Now, this is an important thing to understand when you see praise, because there's two different words or two different kinds of words that are translated praise. One of them is a noun, which means it is a thing. It is not an action. A verb is an action. A verb is something that you do. A noun, we all know from first year grammar, is a person, a place, or a thing. It has nothing to do with an action. Tehillim, praise, is a noun. It is something that you have that you offer to the Lord. It is not something that you do. And that's an important distinction. It comes from the word halal. From the word halal. And Dee's going to talk about that one. But what it literally means is a praise song, a song or a hymn of praise. It's a song. That's really what Tehillim is. It is a song. that you've been given. What differentiates it from halal, which Dee will talk a little bit more about, is that it belongs to God. It is His. It's something that He gives. Halal is something that you can do. It's an action that you can involve yourself in. Tehillah is something that is given by God that dwells in you. I like to say it is the indwelling song of the Spirit. David said that God put it in him. Listen to this. Psalm 40, verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise, Tehillah, to our God. He has put a new song in my mouth, Tehillah, to our God. Praise to our God. It's something that He put in there. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. So David not only said that God put it in him, but he also referred to Tehillah as belonging to God. There are 4 references that David made in the Psalms. They are Psalm 34:1. If you want to jot them down, Psalm 35:28, Psalm 48:10, Psalm 51:15, and I didn't actually go through every one of them, but I found at least these 4 where David said that it was his praise, his tehillim shall be in my mouth. Your praise, my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your tehillim, of your praise, belongs to God. I think that's an important distinction because this is the kind of praise. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to just emphasize this point one more time. Isaiah 42:8, you can jot that one down under the statement that it belongs to Him, that it's His praise. God said in 42:8, Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my tehillim to carved images. God said, I won't give that to the carved image. I won't give my tehillim. God Himself referred to it as His, and as being the one who gives it. This is an important distinction. All right? Because, letter C, it is Him. It is, in essence, Christ in you. Tehillim is a reference. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 10:21 says, He is your tehillim. He is your praise. Says in Deuteronomy 10:21. It's not something that we can offer. It is something that goes on inside of us. You've heard us make reference to that worship service that's going on inside of you all the time. Right? Christ in you. That thing that's blessing the Lord, that's the tehillim of God. That's the praise of God that He put in you, the new song that He put inside of you that is resident in Him, belongs to Him. He gave it. Man cannot have it apart from God imparting it and putting it in him. All right? Letter D, it is where He sits enthroned. Familiar with Psalm 22:3, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel, the tehillim of Israel. That's where God dwells. That's where He's enthroned, Christ in you. It also, letter E, it is where He is mighty and where He is victorious. That's the kind of praise that releases His power. Who is like unto you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto you, glorious in holiness, fearful in tehillah, fearful in praises? In 2 Chronicles 20:22, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushes against the people. You remember we talked about Jehoshaphat last week. and about our warfare and about praise as warfare, it is this kind of praise, tehillim. It's the releasing of the Christ in you. It's the getting in touch with that spiritual song that is in the midst of you. I think that's what Paul was talking about when he said, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I think he was referring to the praises, to the tehillim praise of God. That's what I think he was referring to. I think he may also have been referring to that same thing when he said, I sing with the Spirit, I sing with the understanding, and I sing with the Spirit. It's that spiritual song, the indwelling. Letter F, here's another thing that tehillim praise does. It brings us into the presence of God. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with tehillim. It's this kind of praise that brings us into His courts. The releasing of the Spirit of God within us. See, I used to believe that just any old kind of praise accomplished this stuff. I used to believe that if I could, I came and clapped my hands, that it would bring me into the courts of God, into His courts, into His presence. You know, or if I just danced before Him, that it would. Now, that's not to say that these expressions of clapping and dancing aren't valid, but they serve a different purpose. In other words, it's a different kind of car. You know, I just realized you put different tires on a minibus than you put on a Formula One car. Because they have different purposes. They do different things. They're still tires. They're still expressions. And I realize that we can clap. Well, I'll talk about clapping just when we get to the next one, because there's a lot of different kinds of praise we can enter into using our clap to do it. You can clap with excitement towards the Lord. You can clap with thanksgiving. You can clap as warfare. Each one of those will be a different facet or a different expression of praise. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. Letter G, here's another thing it does. Tehillim praise clothes God's people and transforms them. Clothes them. It becomes a covering, a garment for them. You can probably tell already where I'm going. Isaiah 61, 3. He said he was going to give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of tehillim for the spirit of heaviness. When we get in touch with that thing that's going on in here and release the tehillim of God, that's the praise that destroys the yoke of heaviness. That garment, and that's the one that clothes us, all right? Letter H, it protects. This kind of praise can be a protection for God's people. Isaiah 60, verse 18. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates tehillah, praise. It's a gate that closes against the enemy. Can be a place of protection. All right. Those are just some of the passages of Scripture that sort of kind of give us an understanding of this tehillim praise and why God gave it and when to use it. And now for your own benefit, I listed every occurrence where the word tehillah is translated praise, and all those scriptures are there for you in your notes. If you really want to know what this does for you, what entering into this kind of praise and how God has called us to use tehillah, this kind of praise, getting in touch with this internal song, you can go through and read all those scriptures. They're all right there for you. Now, that's only where it's been translated praise in your notes. It's also been translated some other ways that I didn't put those references in your notes for you. Okay? All right. The next one we're going to look at is yada. This is a completely different expression of praise. This one is a verb. This is the second Hebrew word that's translated praise. It's the word yada. And it's a verb. It's a verb. It's a root word, but it comes from the word yad, Y-A-D, which means hand. And literally, it means a thrusting forth. It means to throw or to cast out, this is what the word literally means. Implicit in the word picture of the word yada is the thrusting forth of the hand. I've heard it described as a militant salute, is how I've heard this word described. It's the thrusting forth is the picture that we get with that word. In praising God, in the casting up of our praises, the throwing up to Him of our praises, of our hands. I had this picture while I was thinking about this afternoon of an expression of praise in a negative sense that most of the world is familiar with in Sieg Heil! Heil Hitler! The militant expression of submission, servitude, and extolling and honoring through of, in this particular case, the wrong guy. Right? But that's the kind of expression that the word picture sort of carries with it. Interestingly enough, it was only translated praise, well, it was translated praise 53 times. The other 32 times is that the next most frequently way it was translated was give thanks, to give thanks. The offering, the giving of thanks to the Lord. The lifting up of our thanks before Him. Its first mention, it's actually the derivative of the name Judah. The Hebrew word yada is where Judah's mom, somebody educate me, I've forgotten, Judah's mom, huh? Rebecca? Israel's wife? Jacob? Rachel? Okay, sorry. I should know that. At any rate, in Genesis 29:35, she conceived again, bore a son, and said, "Now I will yada the Lord." Therefore, she called his name Yehuda in Hebrew, Judah. I will yada. I will cast up my thanks to the Lord. I will offer him my thanks. I will praise the Lord. And I will name my child Yehuda. Judah comes from the word yada. That's the derivative. The key element in the word yada is thankfulness. The word in its root form includes the expression of thankfulness before the Lord. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord. I will yada you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I'll tell of your marvelous works. Psalm 28, 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will yada him. I will praise/thank him. It's a thankful form of praise. It's something that we do as a verb before God, an action, a giving of thanks before the Lord. All right? I want to look a little bit at how David incorporated yada. First of all, there's a reference to him doing that musically. Now, yada, in its root form, doesn't imply anything musical, necessarily, as Tehillah does. Tehillah is a song given by God. So that in its root form is musical. Yada doesn't imply that. Zamar is the other one that's musical, and I'll get to that one in a minute. but we can offer our praise and thanks with music. And David did. Psalm 32 says, Yada, praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Psalm 43:4. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will yada you. I will, on the harp, I will offer my thanks. I will yada you. All right. Secondly, this was the kind of praise that David turned to when he was discouraged. Psalm 42:11 and Psalm 43:5 both say this. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet yada him. I shall yet praise him. You know, it's interesting to me when I'm discouraged. Sometimes I'll try to war. Sometimes I'll try to get militant. Sometimes I'll try to dance until I don't feel discouraged. Sometimes I try to shout. But you know what really takes the wind out of the sails of discouragement? You start thanking God for what he's given you. That's what David did. He turned to the yada expression of praise when his soul was cast down. He didn't turn to the celebrating and rejoicing kind. He turned to the thankful kind, the offering of thanksgiving to the Lord. All right. In fact, I think I will enter his gates with yada. I will enter his courts with tehillim. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. And I believe that that word is yada, in translated thanksgiving. All right. You double check me on that, though. Double check me on that, because I'm not positive. All right, here's another thing. David offered this kind of praise wholeheartedly. Whether he felt like it or not, it's kind of interesting to me, but he did. He offered it wholeheartedly first. Psalm 86:12, I will yada you, O Lord. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I'll glorify your name forevermore. Psalm 111:1, praise the Lord. I will yada the Lord with my whole heart. I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Secondly, as we already noticed in Psalm 111, he not only would yada the Lord with his whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. He did it publicly. It's number 4 in your notes, I think. He offered it publicly. Psalm 57:9. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. Psalm 108:3. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. Psalm 109:30. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise yada him among the multitude. It was something he did publicly. He did in the congregation. He did it in front of people. Remember, we talked a couple weeks back about God restoring the tabernacle of David, that open, visible praise, in order that the Gentiles, the rest of the Gentiles, would seek him. Remember, we talked about that, Acts 15:16. Right? I think that's part of David's whole character, was that he offered that praise publicly. He also, number 5, offered it freely. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will yada your name, O Lord, for it is good. Psalm 54:6. If you want the reference for that, under number 5. I'm going to try to hurry. Number 6, he prayed that other people would offer that kind of praise. Psalm 67:3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Yada you. Psalm 107 is a really cool psalm. Verses 8, 15, 21, and 31 of Psalm 107. In other words, David says this 4 different times in Psalm 107. Oh, that men would give thanks, yada. In the King James it says praise, in the New King James it says give thanks. But oh, that men would yada to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So David prayed that other people would offer this kind of praise. He also offered it, number 7, in purity and with revelation. In purity and with understanding. Listen to this, Psalm 119, 7. I will yada you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will yada you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. David's thankfulness before the Lord, his yada, was directly related to his understanding of God's word. I think David knew that as he sought the word of God, it would increase his thankfulness before the Lord. He offered it in righteousness and with revelation and understanding. All right, and letter E, I think you got the listing of everywhere that word yada is translated praise. Okay. Now the last two we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on for a couple of reasons. First of all, most of us are relatively familiar. We've already got the word picture of the word zamar in our mind because this is what we usually think of when we think of praise. Zamar is also a verb. And it's from a root that means to strike with the fingers. And is literally, usually translated praise, or sing praise, or sing forth, but it's an instrumental or a musical expression of praise. It has to do with playing, it's the thing that we usually think of when we think of praise, singing and playing instruments before God, but it's not the what we're offering, it's not the noun like the tehillim, the thing that's in us that we're getting in touch with and releasing. This is what we can do musically. We can sing him a song or play him a song. We can zamar the Lord as praise. Right? And that this is the one that we're probably the most familiar with. Because we say, I want to play a song for you, God, and you pick up your guitar, or I want to sing you a song. Now, it's interesting to me that 37 out of 41 verses that contain this particular word occur in the Psalms. It only shows up in 4 verses outside of the book of Psalms. And I think the reason for that probably had something to do with the fact that that was one of David's primary expressions before the Lord was musical. I'm going to zamar you. I'm going to sing before you. I'm going to play my instrument before you. I will praise you on my 10-stringed instrument. I'll praise you on the high-sounding cymbal. I will praise you, O Lord. I'll zamar you. Okay? So letter B, just to fill in the blanks, it is an instrumental song of praise, with the inherent understanding that our voices are instruments. So that includes singing. In other words, we can sing that is something that we are offering God out of our own spirit, which is a zamar before the Lord. Or we can release the song of the Spirit that He put inside of us. That is the tehillim of God. Is it making sense? I will sing with the understanding and I will sing with the spirit, Paul said. I'll sing with the spirit, the tehillim, and I will sing with the understanding, zamar. I will make myself an instrument and offer my praise to God. You know, it's interesting because I think if I look at my own life, most of the praise that I offer him that I think is supposed to be the victorious, releasing the presence of God kind of praise, the place where He inhabits and the place where He's victorious and mighty and where we're seated with Him and all of that and where we enter into His presence. Well, most of what I think is tehillim is probably zamar. I'm singing out of my own spirit and offering him praise, but haven't really released the Spirit of God to sing through me, which is Tehillim. It's beginning to get a little more clear now. Okay. In other words, the same tire, two different cars. My song, the same tire, two different cars. One's a minibus, one's a Formula One. One's going to zip me into his presence. One's going to, we'll get there after a while. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? Okay. So the letter C, it's inherently a musical expression of praise, and this is the way it was used in the Old Testament. This is just a couple of occurrences. I will praise Psalm 7:17. I'll praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I'll sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 47:6, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for the God is King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. That's all. Zamar to God, Zamar, Zamar to our King, Zamar, for God is King of all the earth, Zamar with understanding. Sing praises, sing praise. Now, if that is not an admonition to get with it and go ahead and release this thing, see, there's nothing wrong with it. We're admonished to use this, but it serves a different purpose than the Tehillim. Do you understand what I'm trying to? Okay. All right. Psalm 68:4 is another good one. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds and rejoice before him. All right, and letter D in your notes is a listing of all the occurrences of Zamar. Only this time, I listed all the occurrences of Zamar because sometimes it was just sing, sometimes it was just sing praises, sometimes it was just praise. And they were knit together, and I thought about just fishing out all the words where it was translated praise. But then I had to say, well, God, does that mean I should fish out the words that say sing praise? And I thought, no, I probably ought to leave those in. And then I thought, well, then I might as well just leave in the sings too. Okay, so sometimes it's translated sing, sometimes it's translated sing praises, sometimes it's translated praise. All right, the last one I'm going to talk about is the word todah. It also is a noun. This is actually the noun that is involved with, or it's from the word yada, comes from the word yada, which we've already talked about, and it's kind of the noun form of yada. Todah refers to the substance of thanks. It is that which you are actually offering God when you offer him thanks. Is that kind of clear as mud? Almost as clear as mud. In other words, see, I don't want to get too splitting hairs about all of this. Yada is the verb that we're doing. We're offering him, and what we are offering him is our todah, thanks. It's a substance. We're offering him praise. But this praise is in the form of thanksgiving. And it actually only shows up in Scripture a couple of times. I think it only shows up 6 times it's translated praise, 18 times it's translated thanksgiving. And this is the enter into his gates with todah, thanks, thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, the noun, todah. This is what we enter into. All right? That's Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 50, verse 23, whoever offers praise, todah, glorifies me. Psalm 147, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, todah. Sing praises, zamar, on the harp to our God. And this is what Jeremiah was talking about chapter 17, verse 26. That's Jeremiah. He talked about bringing offerings, burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise into the house of the Lord. He was talking about the thanksgiving that they were bringing. Todah. Okay? I don't want to split hairs and take a lot of time with this particular word because it's easy to get confused about. It's basically just the substance that's offering, that we're offering to God, the substance of thanksgiving, usually translated thanksgiving. Now, and you've got a listing of where that word was translated praise. Now, I'm just going to wrap all of this up, because what I want to do in wrapping it up is just bring, just capsulize things to know that when we come to praise the Lord, we can come biblically to do any of these things, to get in touch with the Spirit of God and let Him just worship through us to heal Him. We can bring a song on a musical instrument. We can bring our thanksgiving and cast it before the Lord. We can offer Him thanks. We can release all this stuff unto Him. All of those things. And our expressions, the expressions that Dee covered last week, the clapping, the singing, the dancing, all of that stuff can be used to do any of these other things. Sometimes the Spirit of the Lord through you in His tehillim will begin bringing an incredible clapping. I've been in services where you knew it wasn't people that inspired this, but people just began to clap before the Lord. And it was the tehillim praise of God that was expressed through the clap. Other times, we just offer Him thanks. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you so much. And we're offering todah before the Lord through the same expression. That's why we don't want to focus on our expressions unless we understand what are we using our expressions to do. So, now I hope we got a better picture, having looked at these four, and I'm going to turn things over to Dee so she can hit the other three.